Palooka!
In this corner, in top fighting form, coming to you every Monday through Friday at this time in thrilling action-packed stories, America's number one hero, world's champion of boxing and of fair play, from Ham Fisher's famous comic strip, Joe Palooka!
Booed for the first time in his career, accused of being in on a gambling fraud with evidence piling up against him, Joe Palooka finds himself hijacked into an empty refrigerator car. Discouraged over the way things have happened, Joe decides to call himself Phil Boyle, clip his hair, grow a mustache, and stay on as handyman at Mrs. McGregor's gas station and lunchroom on the outskirts of the town of Midville. One of Joe's first jobs as a handyman is to pick up Mrs. McGregor's daughter, Ruth, on her return from teacher's college. Butch, a local truck driver, warns Joe not to get interested in Ruth. As Joe brings Ruth home from the depot, Butch is waiting, and waiting in a very ugly mood. In just a minute, we rejoin Joe, and then back to his friends in New York. But first... And now, episode 11, Incriminating Evidence. Butch has bullied Joe, now Phil Boyle, into a fight. Joe has gone outside with Butch, leaving Ruth in the house where she waits, worried and anxious.
Phil. Phil. Then Butch didn't hurt you.
He came pretty close. Your friend Butch pulled a monkey wrench on me.
Did he hurt you?
Well, I sort of stopped a blow on the arm. It doesn't feel so good. I don't think the arm's broken or anything like that.
Oh, Phil, this is terrible. Let me look at it.
I think we'd better look at Butch first. He's lying out there sort of quiet and cold.
You mean you knocked him out?
Well, I got in a lucky punch. Just lucky, that's all. I thought maybe you had some smelling salts or something in the house.
Well, we always used to keep some in the medicine chest, but let me look at your arm first.
Oh, it's nothing.
Now, let me look. Oh, my goodness. Your arm's swelling up and it's all black and blue. Oh, that Butch.
Oh, I guess he's all right. Some big guys just have to learn that the best and toughest thing in the world isn't just being a big guy.
Well, I think you certainly taught Butch that. You must be able to hit hard, Phil.
No,
because Butch is just about the roughest person around here. He's had that reputation for years.
Well, maybe he's just getting old and slowing up now.
No. I think you must have hit him pretty hard.
Oh, it was just a lucky punch. Say, I better get out there and take a look at him. He's just lying there and...
Oh, I don't think that's necessary. Sounds as though he's regained consciousness all right. That's his truck pulling out. Here, let's soak that arm of yours.
Oh, it's nothing, Ruth,
now,
really.
Now, don't give me any arguments. You know, Phil, I just can't get over anybody knocking Butch out. Just wait until the folks around here hear about that.
Oh, I don't think you ought to tell them. Really, I wish you wouldn't say anything about it.
We go back to Joe's friends in New York. Still extremely perturbed over Joe's disappearance and the evidence connecting him with Blackie Ballinger's gambling ring, Joe's manager, Nobby Walsh, finds it necessary to make some quick decisions. We rejoin Nobby now in his office on West 49th Street. He's just dialed the telephone and anxiously awaits an answer.
I just hope she's in. We gotta have the same story and stick to it. Hello? Hello, Ann. Yeah, I'm fine. Well, that is as fine as you might expect me to be. Yeah. How are you, Ann? Oh? Well, I guess neither one of us have too much to be happy about right now. But, Ann, look. I want you to listen close and get this straight. I understand Frank Hopper. Yeah, he's a sports writer, but first accused Joe of being in on this gambling thing. Yeah. He's demanded an investigation by the Boxing Commission, and he's really hot on the story. No, he doesn't know about Joe's disappearance yet. But he'll be around to see both of us. I've already told Jerry, and Jerry's talked to Myrtle. Now, we've all got to stick to the same story, and this is it. Joe was kind of broken up over the accusation and everything, so we thought he ought to go up to the Northwoods for a rest for a while. Now, don't forget, Ann, Joe's up in the North Woods for a rest. He doesn't want to be bothered, and we don't know exactly where he is. And we can't get in touch with him, even if we wanted to. Yeah. Yeah, that's the story. Wait.
Hello, Walsh.
Yes. Yes, I'll be glad to come over for dinner, Esmeralda. Oh, hello, Hopper.
Hello, Nobby. Did I interrupt something?
Oh, no, no, no. A friend of mine just dropped in. I'll talk to you later, Esmeralda. Goodbye.
Sure I didn't interrupt something, Nobby?
No, no. That was Esmeralda Floop. Yeah, Floop, a friend of mine. Old friend of the family.
Yes, I can imagine.
Well, what's on your mind, Hopper? You're still trying to make something out of this Joe Palooka accusation?
Oh, don't you think I ought to, Nobby?
I think you're way off on the wrong track, Hopper, and I'm sorry to see you go off.
I might say the same about you, Nobby.
Now, look.
I thought I'd bring you the news first. The Boxing Commission has decided an investigation is in order. It's official now.
Yeah? Well, that's all right. We're not afraid of an investigation. After it's over, of course you'll give an apology publicly.
Maybe I'll give a pretty sensational story publicly.
What do you want, Hopper?
Where's Joe?
Oh, I figured Joe needed a little rest, so I sent him up to the North Woods for a while. I just don't know exactly where he is, so I couldn't get in touch with him if I wanted to.
You expect me to believe that?
Frankly, I don't care whether you believe it or not. Joe's away taking a rest, and that's all.
You're sure he just didn't run out?
I want to control my temper, Hopper. It wouldn't do much good to get sore here anyhow. Wouldn't do much good to say anything to you. You have your own ideas about this thing.
Yes, that's right. I have, Nobby. And my ideas are going to be read by a lot of people.
Don't you think it would be fair if you waited for the Boxing Commission to investigate this case and make with the ideas?
Oh, I'll wait. But I'll kind of help them along. Come on, where's Joe, Nobby?
I told you I didn't know.
Yeah, yeah, you told me a lot of things. You told me Joe wasn't connected with Blackie Ballinger and his gambling ring, too.
So help me, Frank Hopper, he isn't. Now, look, Hopper. You can't throw out the reputation that Joe has built and everything else just because you want some sensational news story.
I don't want any sensational news story. Something rotten is going on here, and I want to get to the bottom of it.
But I tell you, Hopper, Joe isn't connected with Blackie Ballinger and his gang of crooks. Joe doesn't even know Blackie. I don't know Blackie. I don't know where all this came from.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Then you'd be interested to know who's waiting outside. Waiting to come in and see you.
Huh? What do you mean? Who's waiting out there?
I talked to him on the way in. He claims to be an old friend of yours and Joe's.
An old friend of mine and Joe's? Who is it?
Oh, a tall, dark-haired, sleek-looking fellow. Answers to the name of Blackie Ballinger.
Blackie Ballinger?
Yeah, Blackie Ballinger's waiting to see you. Nobby, what is it, a payoff?
Blackie's out there?
That's right. Blackie's waiting to see you, Nobby. How are you going to answer that one? Blackie Ballinger's waiting to see you.
And now once more back to Joe Palooka, now known as Phil Boyle, handyman at the McGregor gas station and lunchroom on the outskirts of Midville. It's the day after Joe's fight with Butch, and Joe is busy out in front at the service station.
Phil? Oh, Phil.
Yes, Ruth?
Oh, Ken Berry just called. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, I guess so. Only, who's Ken Berry?
Oh, Ken's an old friend of mine. We grew up together and went to school together and... Well, we're just very good friends. I told Ken about you and Butch.
Oh, no, Ruth, you shouldn't have.
Oh, now, don't be so modest.
It's not a matter of modesty.
Well, then what is it?
It's just that... Oh, nothing.
Nothing? Most people would brag about something like that all their lives. Ken says he doesn't know how you did it.
Just a lucky punch.
Ken was very happy to hear about it. Like a lot of others, he thinks Butch is a bully. Ken's just come in from New York. He said he'd like to meet you, Phil.
He's just come in from New York, and he'd like to meet me?
Yes. What's the matter, Phil?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Well, Ken has to go to New York often. His work calls him in. He's a very busy young man.
What's he busy at?
Oh, Ken's the county attorney here.
The county attorney?
Yes, and he wants to meet you. I think you'll like him.
The county attorney?
So, the young county attorney just back from New York wants to meet Phil Boyle. Do you suppose he'll recognize Joe? And what about Nobby Walsh back in New York? What does racketeer Blackie Bellinger want to see him for? What will happen when Joe's friends face the Boxing Commission's investigation? In just a minute, we'll tell you about our next episode. But first, evidence of Joe's connection with the gambling fraud in New York becomes even more incriminating. So incriminating that even Myrtle Hosenslufer, Jerry Leamy's girlfriend, decides to do some detecting on her own. Don't miss Myrtle Turns Detective, the next exciting episode in the story of...